In this episode of Balancing the Christian Life, we talk to my dad, Ken Embry, about what it means to be a Christian. Welcome to Balancing the Christian Life. I'm Dr. Kenny Embry. We'll talk about how to be a better person and better Christian in the digital age. Let's go. Back in March of 2020, my parents came down to visit my family in Tampa. Mom and Dad live in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where I grew up, and the drive is long and wearing. I had just gotten a couple of microphones and an audio recorder and was becoming more committed to the idea of doing a podcast. I knew I wanted to both test the gear, but also talk to my dad. Pop is a character. When I try to explain my dad to others, I tell them to think about the exuberance and impulsiveness of a 12-year-old and put it in a 7-year-old body, and you're getting close. My dad loves laughing. He loves having a good time. He is generous and can always tell you about the last dozen or so books he finished reading the last couple of weeks. He hates socialism. He is worried his children or grandchildren will be swayed by shifting political ideas, and he's definitely skeptical about some of the newer technology. You'll hear some of that in this interview. It's taken me a long time to pull this episode together for many reasons. When I began, I knew I didn't have the talent to edit this into a good episode. I'm not sure I have that talent yet, but I know I'm closer. I also think I'm probably too close to the subject. I want you to get to know my dad, and I want you to like him. He's just a little bit crazy, though. I think all of us are like that. There are people in our lives we understand, and we just hope you can see the same special things we see. This was an interview which lasted about an hour, and I edited it down to about 20 minutes. Most of what I had to cut was my dad's childhood, and I struggled with whether I should keep it in or take it out. Ultimately, that was a conversation about his hometown of Litchfield and growing up in rural Kentucky. In the second half, I switched the conversation to spiritual topics, which seemed more in line with the podcast. The questions I asked are both simple and difficult. What is good? Who is God? What is love? Three-word questions which take a lifetime to answer. I think Pop takes a pretty good stab at them. But ultimately, I just want you to meet my dad. Well, today I've got a very special privilege. I'm going to be talking to my dad. Dad, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you grew up? Where were you born?
I was born in 1945, just after the Second World War was over. Born in Louisville, Kentucky, but I was raised in Litchfield, Kentucky all my life and left there when I went to college.
And what was it like growing up in Litchfield, Kentucky?
Small town, about 2,000 people, just kind of the Mayberry, like you remember from Andy Griffith. And we had almost the same set of characters in town as Mayberry. We had a policeman we called Barney, and we always teased that they probably only gave him one bullet to carry. We did a lot of the rural things. We go fishing and ride our bike everywhere. And I remember roller skating a lot on the streets. There was a big hill by our house, and but those were the days when they were metal roller skates that you had to clip onto your shoes. Well, about halfway down the hill, they would come off, and you'd roll down the bottom half of the hill. But it was just idyllic.
So Litchfield, Kentucky, and of course, I've been there several times. But if somebody had never been to Litchfield, what kind of community is it?
It was a farming community. And the town, Litchfield was the county seat. And the farmers would come into town for market day and go to the stockyards and sell their stock if they had any to sell. But they would come and buy their whatever they needed in town.
Let me switch up just a little bit. I want to switch over to just some very basic questions. How would you define what being good means?
Oh, my. And you know, it's one of those deals as you get older. I'm almost 70. I'll be 75 this fall if I live to be that long. Things change. You're concept of life and changes as you get older. Good has to be, and to some extent, self-referenced. You grow up with a personality and a background that gives you a certain frame of reference. So I don't think a person could consider themselves good if it doesn't fit into that frame of reference. My grandpa Embry, I had a patient Lowell years ago. She said her mom was widowed down in Granser, and they didn't have any money. And they needed food to eat. And they would take eggs and trade eggs with Grandpa Embry. I'll start crying here. Don't think about it. he sustained them because, out of the kindness of his heart. And she still carried that feeling for that, for him and that family. That's my background. I mean, those are the people we came from. And you've got to live within those parameters of your upbringing and your background. I read a book one time about the Scott-Irish immigration from, and my, our families from that immigration. They came not individually, but in large family groups from Scotland and England and Northern Ireland. And if you trace the embryo name back, that's those are our people. But they said they brought that mentality with them. Being good is that you take care of people. And if you want to look at it from a religious point of view, obviously being good is doing what God wants you to do.
Who's God?
I think God is the creator. And at one point, I guess I thought he was the supreme intelligence, but God is more than intelligence. He, and I've got a fabrication that I've never talked about, and I don't think anybody would agree with me, but I still believe it. I think when God created the universe as we know it, from microscopic at subatomic to universal, and universal in the broad sense, I think he had helpers. I think the angels had jobs. And I think on the day of creation, when things all came together, I think God gave angels, he said, I need a carbon-based biological system, and I need a form of reproducing these organisms. So I think he signed other angels, the setting up the DNA codes, the sequence of DNA. And sure, God could have done that. And in the broad sense, I think God did do that. But I think on the day of creation, when all these things came together, God looked at it and said, that's good. But a lot of people would say, well, God is so powerful and omnipotent that he didn't need any help. Well, he's got all these helpers laying around. What's it going to do with them? So anyway, I think God is behind everything. So if God has got that much potential, can do such broad things, then he's more than just an intelligence. He's the doer. He could be a God that set the world in motion and then just walked away. But I don't think he's that kind of God. I think God is a benevolent God. I think God loves us. I think he wants it to do well. I think he wants to take care of us. And I think he did. I think God had a scheme, a plan in his mind that would take care of us, that would communicate with us and tell us the things he wanted us to know and the things he wanted us to do while we're on this earth. As I'm advancing in age, I wish he had told us more about the life after death. The Bible has virtually nothing to say about what heaven is like, what life will be like after we die. I've conceptualized the holodeck in heaven, that God will allow us to go back and look at periods of time that might have interest to us. What was it like when they built the pyramids? What was Ur like when Abraham lived there? And God will allow us to go back and stand there on the sidelines and watch them make the Rosetta Stone. But, you know, when you construct heaven in your mind, you kind of have to do it on your own because God's not going to tell you much about it, except there is a heaven. But having said all of that, I think God is benevolent and is good and wants what's good for us.
What is love?
Well, you know, in the Greek, had how many different words for love? Love is wanting what's good for other people, what's good for the people around you. It's wanting to be with them. It's wanting what's good for them. And I know there are broader, bigger definitions of it, but the people that you love are people you want to be around. You want to hear from them. You want to be with them. You want to talk to them. You want to text them. There's a much broader definition of love, but I'm going to ignore that right now. But anyway, that's what I would say.
Of all the people I know, and I know a lot of people, I don't know anybody who's as much a prodigious reader as you are. You've read a lot.
Yeah.
What are the books that still resonate with you? What do you think are the most important books you've read?
There was a book, and it may still be available, called J.D. Tant, Texas Preacher, by Fanning Yater Tant. And J.D. Tant was such a hoot. That was a fun book and one that stuck with me. There were some books by Zig Ziglar, Meet You at the Top, and Dennis Waitley had one. All some of those early motivational type books. Seven Habits of Highly Effective People was a good one. There was one I read called Raccoon John Smith. There was a preacher up at Mount Sterling. I think it was in Mount Sterling, just outside of Lexington, that was a early disciple of Barton Stone. And there was a gospel preacher there. And he had preached down in Russellville, Alabama for a while. His family burned up there. He lost his family in Russellville and moved back to Kentucky. Then they had the cholera epidemic of the early 1800s, I think it was. And people had closed their houses. They wouldn't let strangers come in. And I remember Brother Smith said, "We will not turn away strangers at our door." He said, "If we die, we die." He preached for many, many years. So his life was, that was an important biography for me. And I presume probably biographies and learning about people in history have meant more for me in terms of just reading. I remember reading the biography of Eisenhower. And Eisenhower had a young son that died. He was really, really close to him. And what I remember about it was he never got over it. Him and Mamie never got over losing that young child. Every parent I've ever seen that would lose a child, they never get over it. It always stays. It's a hole that's never filled. And you could go down the list, name multiple people that you know that's happened to. But the biographies probably have meant more to me than anything else.
What is family to you, and what does it mean to you?
Family is to me is expansive. It's probably everybody, and this is hilarious because people get tickled at me. Probably anybody that shares 1/1,000,000th of my DNA is I consider family. So I claim cousins that are probably 10th cousins, but I always consider them family, and I don't know why that is. There are probably people that aren't even have no DNA shared components that I consider family just because they've been close to me. As I've gotten older, I went through school from kindergarten through high school with about 30 or 40 people. And it was the same group. I mean, small rural town. We were in class together that whole 12 years. Now, as we've gotten older, those kind of feel like family to me because we grew up together. We've shared our adult lives together. So there's a familial feeling even to the people I went to high school with, even though we're not related by DNA. And there's been other close friends like that I can basically consider family, even though we're not physically related. So
what advice would you give to your children or grandchildren now?
I grew up in what I consider to be an idyllic period. And I don't think it's not going to come back. But, you know, we roller skated and rode bikes and went fishing and played kick the can and played. We played outside till it got dark and we had to go in. And on Sunday afternoons, Mom and Dad would pile us on the car and they'd drive down the road. And if they saw a family sitting on the front porch, they'd stop and go sit on the porch with their friends and chit chat. And the kids would all get out and play with their kids, and we'd play till the family left. So social interaction. Now all you see are kids' faces on screens. You know, they got their face in a smartphone or some other electronic device. And I regret that for them. They're being cheated out of so much that would be interesting, edifying, life expanding. I regret that they're living through that period because I think it's a poor substitution for doing real things. And if there were anything I could do to shake that out of them, I would. I think the time is coming, if it's not already here, when there are going to be some tough decisions that have to be made about what you stand for, There will be elements of society that want to go down the socialist free stuff road, and they're going to have to be brave enough and smart enough to fight it and to stand against it morally, culturally, religiously. It's not going to get any easier. I don't know that it was easy for my generation. I think there's so many things that we would have been aghast about now are just easily acceptable. I think television and television shows have acclimated our children to things that are not acceptable, and they're going to be smart enough to see through those things and think through those things and make wise decisions. But it goes back to the biblical saying, they're going to have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. I mean, it's going to be a challenge for them. I pray for them for that.
What do you think it means to be a good Christian?
I read a passage the other day about stay faithful till you die. I think that's what it's about. Stay with it till it's over with. You know, stay with it. I remember one time when I was in college, I got down to the final and I knew I had a solid B, and I didn't spend much time on the final, so I got a B. And after the whole thing was over with, I only needed one or two points to make an A. And I thought, if I had studied 10 minutes, I could have made a better grade on that last exam and got an A. I was so lazy and so content with the solid B that I turned my nose up at an A, an easy A. You know, you're in it for the long haul. Stick with it. At some point in time, you've got so much invested in it. You've got to hang in there till the end of it. And disappointments and frustrations, I mean, you see everything in your life didn't go as you'd pictured it. But God can handle those things. You know, so much of what happens is in God's hands. And you have to just trust God that, you know, I think my children are good kids and they can figure it out. So I think being a good Christian is doing the things that you know that you need to do up to the bitter end.
How would you like to be remembered, do you think?
I think I will not be remembered. I think nobody is remembered very long. I think I've always been a person of passion. You know, what I do with zeal. But my kids are pretty much like that. And I think it's genetic, Kenny. I think we were born with that in us. We just go after it. Not always wisely. I think we do things from our zeal that aren't always the smartest thing to do. But, you know, I've never really thought I needed to end up with the richest bank account or the nicest home or the biggest car. I mean, those material things, while they're nice and I've had my share of them, are not important to me. I know that my family will remember me as a very loving person, very kind-hearted, doing some crazy things, kind of spontaneous. They'll forgive me of those things. And I think they'll remember the fun times we've had.
Who do you love, Dad?
I'd have to say I love my family.
Well, we love you too, Dad. Well, I hope you enjoyed meeting Pop. He's crazy, but he's ours. We love you, Dad. I don't talk about this much, but go to balancingthechristianlife.com, the companion website for the podcast. I'm beginning to put more content there, and I've got an email list where you can get notified when new episodes hit. I'm also working on a list of podcasts and books I recommend, which I'll make sure people on my email list receive. Also, do me a favor and give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. So until next week, let's be good and do good.